Thank you, Tim. And welcome to visitors and members, and good to see all of you here today. Let's again say a prayer for Alan and Mike's safe return. And hopefully the trip to California will be one that they will remember for a long time in terms of a gathering for a very gracious lady. Today's lesson, and I want to talk about, is burdens, life's burdens, and just share a couple of thoughts that I have in terms of sharing a burden and understanding what a burden really is. We have many things to be concerned about, but nothing to worry about. It may sound like a contradiction in terms, but it's not. We have many things to be concerned about, but nothing to worry about. God is still in charge. Talk about burdens, and we unnecessarily, as Christians, take on that burden. Turning everything over to the Lord allows us the freedom to freely worship in the Lord and be spokespeople for God to others who are godless or who do not know God. But seeing us as Christians, we become examples to the world, especially when we encounter difficulties. How we carry ourselves as Christians will become models for the world of those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There should be a difference between us and the world when facing adversity. The idea of burdens, and I want to look at this for a moment, but found a couple of definitions I just want to share with you. One, to see burden as a noun, which is to carry a load, that which is born with difficulty and obligations. As a verb, it's to load oppressively troubles. So what do we do as Christians with life's burdens? Today I'm going to talk about what to do with life's burdens. And all of us will encounter life's burdens. And as Christians, what are we called upon to do through Scripture with burdens? All people have burdens. There's an old Spanish proverb which says, no home is there anywhere that does not sooner or later have its hush. Times of quiet, times of burdens. And every person here today will eventually be heartbroken, burdened down with weighty problems. You've already experienced many, and you will experience many more. Every pew here this morning holds a broken heart for something. If you've not been in that condition yet, just wait. Stay around a bit, and you will, because the burdens of life are pretty well scattered about among all of us. And what shall we do with these burdens as Christians? Remember, we are walking examples to the world as to how we handle the cares of the world. We're walking examples to those non-believers as to how we comport ourselves as professed believers. The three things which the Bible says to us about burdens. First, in Galatians 5, for every man shall carry his own burden. Each one of us will carry our own burden. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. We're not only to carry our burdens, but we're to share in the carrying of burdens by our brothers and sisters and others we come in contact with. From Psalm 55:22, we read, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You see, as Christians, we have a release valve for our burdens, to not be overburdened. We can turn it over to the Lord, and he anxiously waits for us to do that. Many burdens of life may not be seen at all. The deepest and heaviest burdens that people bear are generally in their own hearts and are not seen by associates or friends or families at all. If we knew what fierce battles other people are fighting internally, what heavy burdens other people carry, It would give us a great deal of restraint and charity in our dealings with everyone we come in contact with, because everyone we come in contact with is carrying some measure of a burden. Notice three kinds of burdens mentioned in the book of God. Bear your own burdens. First, for every person shall bear his own burden. We will all have burdens to bear. How we bear, later on we'll talk about how we are to bear those burdens. But make no mistake about it. None of us are immune from burdens. None of us are immune from hurt. None of us are immune from pain. But as Christians, believing Christians, we have an alternative to trying to rough it, tough it through by ourselves. Because as we walk with Christ, we will never walk alone. Sometimes we get burdened and get to the point where we believe that we have to try to challenge it all ourselves. There is absolutely nothing but strength in saying, Lord, this is too big for me. I'm going to turn it over to you. There's nothing diminutive in telling the Lord himself, Lord, I can't handle this. I need you. And actually doing that. Many times we pay lip service to turning it over to the Lord and still shoulder the burden, which means you're in the way of having the issue resolved. Some of our burdens belong to us. It's our duty and our responsibility to bear them. Some of the burdens we bring upon ourselves. We may not cast them off to God or try to bear them without associates. But we always, ourselves, must bear these burdens. To a large extent, every life is isolated and segregated from every other life. We're individual pods, no matter how close we are together with family, friends, neighbors, fellow members. To a very remarkable degree, every person lives alone. Yet we are born to be a part of a group. We go out of the world all alone, and in between the cradle and the grave, we live our lives largely alone. The greatest decisions which we can make in life are usually made in the quiet of our own walls, under our own roof, when no one else is around. We reach these decisions about what we are going to do. No one can do your duty for you about you. But it says to say to every man some work, or to every man a work. Everyone has their own work to do. God has a work for every individual to do. Believe that God did not make anything useless, including us. If you do not do the work which God intends for you to do, it will never be done at all, because each of us has an assignment, individual assignment. That assignment may be with others we come in contact with other people within this group or any other group. We never come in contact with those people. We all have an assignment. God has something for you to do as an individual. Never, ever underestimate the power of God and his use of you and others. Do you know that there's a great many things in the Bible which the Lord has told the church to do in a collective sense for us to do together? Either brotherhood-wide or sense or congregational sense, most of the teachings of the Bible is directed to individuals. Remember, this body of believers are made up of individuals. And the directions are to individuals who collectively bind together to do the Lord's work. For example, no one can believe the truth for you. In order to understand the truth, it is necessary that we read and study and consider. But no one else can do that for you. No one else can do your believing. It's necessary that you study, that you think about the truth, and that you believe it. No one else can repent for you. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is necessary that we turn from our sins. But no one else can do that for us. This is a decision which we must reach deep in our own hearts, and it's an action that we must all take. You must turn away from sin as prescribed in Scripture. No one can come and make the good confession for you. How often when the invitation song is sung, we see some person who ought to come and obey the gospel, and we just wish we could go for that person. It's a singular event for each and every one of us because it's a singular relationship for each and every one of us with God. We know he's a good person, this person who needs to turn their life over to God. We wish we could go there for him, but we can't. No one can. We just wish that we could do it for someone. You must make the confession, and no one can be baptized for you. No one can make a confession of faith for you. And you can't make it for anyone else. It's God's singular work on each and every one of us and our singular responsibilities. It's a decision which we must make, and no one else can go into the baptistry and be buried with the Lord in baptism for any other person. It's an individual responsibility that we are responsible to God for actually doing. Now, do you know that the Lord has so arranged your Christian duties that you can go to heaven even if nobody else does, if you do the prescribed work that God has outlined for you? You know, you're always complaining about the condition of the world, the way the world is. Well, that doesn't keep each and every one of us from doing our duty as a Christian. Sometimes we complain how messed up the world is and never do any real introspect to say, well, what am I doing to make it better? It becomes a responsibility for each and one of us and in our relationship with the Lord. Does that keep you from doing your Christian duty because someone else isn't? I'll tell you what's wrong with a lot of us. We want the church, in a general sense, to do the big things. We do not do any of it, maybe, but we want the church, in general, to do big things. We don't particularly want to do anything, but we want the church to do everything. We just want the Church of Christ to get some good worldwide publicity or do big things. Well, God has us here to do the big things. God has us here to do the work. Many times we use the church as a crutch. Well, since we're not doing it as a body of believers, then I'm not going to participate. Well, it's an individual responsibility to work for the Lord. And then collectively, we're able to do more. But it's an individual responsibility. As an individual, the truth is all of us, and I include myself in this, want the church to do big things. Next portion I wanted to share with you is that bear ye one another's burdens. Be here for each other. And there are all other kinds of burdens. There are the burdens that we can share with one another. Paul said, bear ye one another's burdens. There are burdens that are supposed to be ourselves. We cannot bear them for somebody else. Every man or woman should bear their own burdens. But there are some burdens that are community burdens, social burdens, burdens that rest alike on all of us. And hence we shall share them with one another. We must share them with one another at all times. These burdens are here to be shared. And what are some of these burdens we're to share with one another with Christians? All of the people bear them together. Sometimes all the members of the church bear them together. And sometimes people who are not even members of the church. Everybody joins together in bearing certain ones of our burdens. Now let's look at some of those. Let's notice first that the primary application of this verse, Galatians 6 and 2, bear ye one another's burdens. Bear ye one another's, carry each other's burdens. The primary application here is to help the members of the church who have sinned and who have gone astray. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, criticize him, expose him. We never said that. The devil and his crowd will do enough of that. We are to show the compassion of Christ when others have stumbled and not be part of the critical corner. If a man is overtaken in fault, yet which are spiritual, restore such one in spiritual meekness. We are to do that. When men go astray and keep on going astray, it is our duty to go after them. And in a spirit of love, spirit of meekness, seek to recover them and bring them back to the Lord. God did not appoint us as inspector generals to see that which we can find wrong in other people. He did not appoint us to, as Pharisees, stick our noses up in the air and condemn everybody else. That is not the Christian way. Hold them in contempt. Think that we are better than. Remember, God made all of us equal in love for all of us. But God did say, you that are spiritually minded, seek to rescue the people who are in pain. The burden of sin is a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden for anyone to carry. And all of us sin. All of us make mistakes. And the Lord said we need the help of one another in overcoming our sins and in overcoming our mistakes. Show me someone who says they have not sinned. I will show you someone who just sinned. Primary application here, that the burden is to talk about. It's the burden of sin and the burden of shortcomings. You know, when I sin, I don't particularly need anybody to condemn me. I have enough enemies to take care of that. They will take care of that without being asked or without being paid. They'll just smile out loud and take care of it. But I'll tell you, what I do need, I need someone who loves me so much and is so interested in me that if I make a mistake, if I do something wrong, if I've sinned, that he's ready to put his arm around me and help me and steer me back to the right path. And we have to have that attitude rather than mocking someone who has stumbled. Is to be there for that person. Be the crutch that person needs to be able to walk again. You remember in the Bible, when King Saul sinned, the Bible says Samuel cried all night. He loved Saul so much that he cried all night long. Well, now I don't need. When I sin or I make a mistake, somebody to condemn me or denounce me or expose me, the devil and his crowd will take care of that. What we need when we sin is someone to come to us and be there to console us, to bring us back on the right path. Everybody has a finger and they will point it at you. Everybody has an arm to wrap around you, but many times they repel or back away. I'll start the gossip circle, which is antithetical to the love of God, which is antithetical to all that Christ taught in terms of loving one another. All the people that I know have heavy burdens. Every person I know. School teachers, for example. For many years I was a school teacher. School teachers, burdens. They carry heavy burdens as they seek to teach and guide students and direct young people in the paths of the righteous and what to do and what not to do. Policemen, another career choice, carry a heavy burden. The order, in order to maintain an order for safety for everyone. Preachers carry a heavy burden, expounding the word of God. Nurses carry a heavy burden, being there for the sick and the shut in. This naturally raises questions. How can people bear our burdens? First of all, we can live Christian lives ourselves. One example is worth a thousand words, and then next, we can let people know that we believe in them. Nothing more powerful than having someone believe in you and using that as a part of your arsenal to face the world. But we believe that they can do something, that we have some confidence in them, that we can help them in this way. Showing confidence in people who are teetering on whether they should do something or not do something. Offer your best advice and say, I will be there for you. In the church and out of it, there are lonely people. There are hardworking people in the church and out. There are people who need help. In the church and out. And just a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement from you just might be the finest thing that ever happens to a person. A kind word. And we're all prepared to do that. And most of all, and if we shut it down for a moment here, cast your burdens on the Lord. Bible says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Some of our burdens we bear ourselves, others we share with others. But there's some of our burdens that we cannot bear. There are some of our burdens that people cannot bear for us. And these burdens he said to cast on the Lord and he shall sustain us. I want to leave you with that thought. There's more in this particular lesson that I wanted to share, but we'll do that another time. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Too many times we overload ourselves. We overestimate our capacity, our human capacity, and underestimate the power of the Lord. Yet we profess to be followers of the Lord and Christians, and knowing that God is in charge. Sometimes it's very difficult to let go of the reins and turn it over to the Lord and say, I will be satisfied by whatever develops, whatever you decide on this. To give that power that we've snatched from the Lord back to the Lord. And be able to say to ourselves, I have submitted to the Lord totally in my decision-making capacity. I have submitted totally to the Lord in how I treat other people, how I treat myself, and how I treat the world. And when we do that, there is a peace and a calm that will overtake all the adversity that will come your way. Because quite frankly, we live from the inside out, not the outside in. And when we live from the outside, which is strong in Christ, which is strong in the Lord, and understanding that God is in charge, and we live from the inside out and not allow the world to become part of who we are. When we do that, the Lord is well pleased. And be whatever the result, be content with that result. When I close up here right now, what I wanted to do was to thank all of you for being here. Because I know it's difficult, but to be here speaks volumes in terms of you, your faith, and what you want to do. So what we want to do, and one of the things we want to do, is invite you to invite somebody else to come to worship with you. The whole world of hurting people out there. And we can't be ashamed of the gospel. See, sometimes we back away from inviting someone to meet the Lord Jesus Christ who's present here. We back away from it because we don't want to impose ourselves on other people, those kinds of things. It's not an imposition. It's an invitation for what you have that's available to others. So as we close now, we'll close with a song of invitation.